following this developing story around Mondelez abandoning this deal with Hershey. And according to Dow Jones, pricing seemed to be a big part of the discussion.
All offers shall become null and void if I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein contained, etc., etc.
Dow Jones, quoting sources, is reporting that Mondelez had raised its Hershey bid to $115 a share last week.
Fax mentis, incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc. Memo bis punitor delicatum.
So pricing seemed to be a big part of this discussion here, perhaps the reason we're not seeing this deal go through. And again, still looking at shares of Hershey now down better than 11% after hours.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. 5:09. Today is Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. And rest in peace, Gene Wilder. What an open there. Our assistant producer, Bennett Wakenight, awesome. Working in some of the, you recognize Willy Wonka, and the tie-in there with obviously one of the big local business stories of the day is Mondelez International Deerfield abandoning the Hershey bid, Hershey stock tanking today, floating away in that little river of chocolate, just like that naughty little child. But that's one of the big stories today. Awesome montage there this morning as we get going in a business day that is full of a lot of events happening. The Big Farm Progress Show is getting underway just to the north in Boone, Iowa. Also, we're seeing a big story today out of the EU happening right now in the European Union. You're listening to a live news conference out of the EU, where the Apple has been ordered to pay almost $4 billion. Let me make sure I got that right. Apple has been ordered to pay $14.5 billion. I'm sorry. The EU says that Apple had been given illegal tax benefits worth up to that amount, and it now must pay those back taxes to the European Union. It is a three-year investigation that found Ireland granted lavish tax breaks to Apple over many years, that multinational effective corporate tax rate was in effect. So we're still monitoring that story, working out what exactly this is going to mean for Apple. Certainly not good news today. Apple stock, Apple shares are lower this morning. You heard in the montage, we mentioned this deal for Mondelez, by Mondelez to buy Hershey's. Now over Hershey stock yesterday crashed about 11% after the bell closed yesterday. Also, United Airlines has poached one of American Airlines' big talent as president of now United. Scott Kirby has been taken away from American Airlines. United announced yesterday he is taking over as president. On the WGN market desk this morning, we're watching markets that are teeter-tottering between positive and negative. Dow futures this morning have been negative, but they're now moving into the positive territory, up just a few points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. As we move forward on this day, this business day, we look back to yesterday about some of the things that happened on Wall Street. And what we saw was that the markets rose for a fourth straight day. Consumer spending rose, rather, for a fourth straight month in July. That helped buoy the markets just a little bit. But still, there's some concern about the Federal Reserve and the interest rate hike that may be coming later this year. Vespula Capital's Jeff Tomasulo telling the Reuters news agency this morning.
So we're kind of in a trading range, and I don't like to use technicals too much, but we're in between, I think it's the 2190 and the 2150. So we're not really making any progress after the, what I consider a huge up move in the market after the Brits decided to vote to leave the union. We've had a 13% up move from the bottom. We're up 8% in the SPX for the year, but we're not making any headway right now.
Another sign of the improving economy, the Federal Reserve, that could push the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. Consumer spending up for a fourth month in a row. Yesterday, the Commerce Department reporting consumer spending jumped 0.3%. Also in that report are salaries, the money that we're being paid, being increased as well. The income, personal income increasing by about 0.4%. last month. The Farm Progress Show, the big farm show of the year, gets underway today in Boone. And the duo of Max Armstrong and Orion Samuelson have this covered like a glove. And honored to have with us on the opening bell today, Max Armstrong, who many of you remember for years here at this station, who is now really the voice of agriculture along with Orion in the United States, if not the world. Max, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Glad to have you.
Hey, Steve, good morning. It's a privilege to be on with you.
I know these are the high holy days for you and Orion, and we appreciate your time this morning. So tell us what we should expect from the Farm Progress Show.
Well, it's the biggest outdoor farm show in America and probably one of the biggest in the world, I would imagine. 3 days of the latest and greatest in equipment and goods and services paraded for farmers. It looks like there's a possibility of some showers this morning, but nothing very threatening. And, of course, they have permanent sites now. There's permanent drainage under this site north of Des Moines near the town of Boone, Iowa. So any kind of a rain would be quickly moved through Tent City without any problem. The parking areas look good. I was out there throughout the day yesterday, and they're ready to open the gates this morning at 8.
I want to get into some of the nitty-gritty of this after we check traffic this morning, but yesterday I saw that they sold out. This event sold out.
In terms of exhibit space, yeah, absolutely. They continue to add a little bit each year.
Now, is that indicative of, can you read anything into that in terms of how the farm economy is doing that this event is sold out?
It really does show a resilience in the farm economy. You know, we continue to be in a downtrend of the ag economy. Net farm income has plummeted the last 2 years. It's expected to go down again this year, but not nearly as much as the past 2 years. And yet these companies continue to come out with the technology, the new tractors, all of the seed technology that is necessary for the growers. They know that it's going to be needed in the future to feed the growing world population.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors shook off jitters over a potential interest rate hike later this year by posting solid gains yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 107 points to close at 18,502. The S&P 500 was up 1134. The NASDAQ picked up 13.5 points. The Commerce Department says consumer spending grew by just 0.3% last month after a 0.5% increase in June. Economists were hoping for stronger spending to power overall growth in the second half of the year. A judge has given preliminary approval to Volkswagen's $15 billion settlement over claims that some VWs had been designed to cheat on emission standards testing. So far, only about 210,000 Volkswagen owners have registered to settle. And Apple will unveil its new iPhone on September 7th, but it's continuing its tradition of offering few details of what consumers can expect. 214 million iPhones were sold over the past 12 months. That sales are down from a year ago. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. The Farm Progress Show 2016 gets underway later this morning in Boone, Iowa. And Max Armstrong of Farm Progress America, Max Armstrong's Midwest Digest, is with us this morning. Max, I saw a story yesterday, maybe the day before, in the Wall Street Journal. You touched on the farm economy as we were going into the traffic break. But it is one where we see the crops at least looking good this year, but there's still this unequalness in the economy for farmers. Is that on many of the farmers' minds as they head to this show?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's remarkable, Steve, how the pendulum can swing. 4 summers ago, when this show was held at Boone, we were in the midst of a drought. Commodity prices shot up. Higher food prices were in the headlines every day. You remember the stories. There was talk of riots in countries around the world where they were not able to get enough food, they said. Well, I'll call attention to another story in the Wall Street Journal this morning, as a matter of fact, that we are now in the longest period of downward trending food prices in 50 years. So the consumer is really benefiting from this abundance that we're growing. And some farmers are hurting because of it.
And not only farmers, but the companies that help farmers as well. The Deeres of the world, Deere is having a rough time, Caterpillar as well. These are the big companies that do exhibit at the show. Are they there this year, and do they have concern on their faces?
They are concerned. They are here. They have brand new products that they're continuing to bring out. You know, I would hasten to point out that, yeah, there is a ripple effect, as you know, throughout the Midwest economy. Whenever those companies are hurting, when the farmer hurts, it's felt on Main Street in small towns and also in the manufacturing plants. Deere has already laid off somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 workers in the midst of this downturn, simply because farmers aren't buying the new tractors the way they were 4 years ago.
Well, one of the things farmers are doing is this trend toward technology. I think most people who are not farmers or are familiar with agriculture would be really surprised to learn how technically apt and how far advanced farmers are. Will some of that technology and new technology be at the show this year?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing. In about 3 hours, one of the major equipment companies will unveil a video with the latest concept that they're looking at in agriculture. And it's not pie in the sky. It's not out there, years away. Their engineers continue to work on these things. And some of these companies you need to remember are aligned with much bigger companies. For example, Case IH, headquartered up the road in Racine, Wisconsin, is a part of CNH, which is a part of Fiat. And, of course, that brings all kinds of technologies into the tractor cab they wouldn't have otherwise.
And not just tractors and equipment that actually work the fields, but new technology. One of the things I thought was really cool is this new technology that tells when exactly a farmer needs to irrigate so that they don't waste water and they don't do it at the wrong time. Little tech devices like that that are helping.
Oh, yeah. Great point, Steve. That's the new frontier of precision farming, as we call it. With the technology we have, we put on no more fertilizer than is used and is needed, no more crop protection chemicals than are needed, and increasingly no more water than is required. We put it on just at the right time and in just the right amounts. And again, it's technology that allows farmers to monitor their fields and to meter out that very precious resource of water.
And then the other part of this is we saw yesterday the FAA and the Department of Transportation relaxing a little bit these rules on drones. Farmers are big drone users.
Increasingly, yeah. I wouldn't say they're big users yet, but they are among the biggest of private drones. And there will be several exhibitors here. They will not be flying drones over the show to demonstrate those, understandably, because of the crowd here in this location. But there are a whole host of companies, not just bringing the aircraft, but more importantly, bringing the software that allows that farmer to see as that unmanned aircraft flies over the field at about 200 feet. It allows him or her to see what's going on in those plants and what needs to be addressed in any particular part of the field. And again, it can be treated with precision. They can go right to that spot and do what is necessary with those plants that the drone spotted as being in trouble.
Amazing technology. I remember when I was a young boy working on my uncle's farm, he used to walk his fields every other couple of days, and it took forever.
You know what is funny? We've seen farmers doing that again some this year because we've run into some resistance problems with a herbicide with some weeds. And so, yeah, we're kind of dropping back a little bit to some of the mechanical cultivation practices. But I'm with you. I remember those days of being out there early in the morning in those hot, humid fields. It was not fun walking those fields.
So we're going to be talking to Orion a little bit later in the show as well. But what advice would you give folks who are headed up to over to Boone to avoid not only the traffic, but to make sure they see the right stuff?
The traffic is very manageable. One thing you can do is you can go to the website, farmprogressshow.com. You can buy tickets online, and you can download it just the way you would your boarding pass for TSA. And by getting your ticket online, you save a little bit in terms of the price.
There's also, I guess, a little app, too, that you can download for your phone so that you can see what exactly is happening. I hate to put you on the spot here, but if there's one or two things that are must-sees, what would they be?
Yeah, go to Case IH, the farm equipment company I mentioned earlier. They have an apparatus under a tarp out there right now that'll be unveiled at 8:30 this morning, and that'll be the buzz of the show, I predict.
And this is something that's not just for farmers, right? I mean, we're always talking with Orion about how not only should you shake a farmer's hand, but you should get to know a farmer. Anybody can go to this. You don't have to be a farmer, right?
Oh, absolutely. It may spark an interest. If you bring a young person out to this show and they see the technology and they realize that this is an amazing field that is going to demand bright minds in the future, you might really spark an interest in a young person. Conversely, if you're at the other age of the other end of the age spectrum, you're going to find some things here that will amaze you, too, in terms of what farmers are doing today. And there's some smaller equipment for the part-time farmers and for those folks that live out in the countryside. You can buy mowers and things of that nature here, too.
Max, are you optimistic about the future of farming and agriculture?
Yeah, we've watched this movie before, Steve. Mr. Samuelson and I have been teamed up together for darn near four decades. Yeah, I am optimistic.
All right, Max Armstrong at the Farm Progress Show. Don't overdo it, and make sure you take care of Orion up there. Don't let him get overheated.
I'm going to be loaning my golf cart to him. There's one assigned to me, and it will have a name on it when he gets here.
All right, Max Armstrong at the 2016 Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, with us live this morning. The Farm Progress Show, you can find them online at farmprogressamerica.com. The Farm Progress Show is online as well at farmprogressshow.com. Max, by the way, is with Farm Progress America, does Max Armstrong's Midwest Digest. He and Orion will be at the Farm Progress Show for much of the week, and we'll be talking with Orion later in the broadcast here on The Opening Bell.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, sports tracking sensors to improve your game. Fitness bands are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to sports-related technology.
If you wanted, you could buy sensors specific to golf, baseball, basketball. There are wearables that swimmers can wear. Really, almost any sport, there's something for you.
Dana Wolman is with the tech blog Engadget. She says these sensors can attach to you or the gear you're using.
They're tiny little things designed to be unobtrusive and are designed to help you improve your performance using the different sensors inside, including accelerometers.
Like having your own virtual coach. Wolman says a company called Zepp, spelled Z-E-P-P, makes sensors for lots of different sports. And that's a good place to start. There's also one called Pop for tennis and Shot Tracker for basketball. As for cost, Wolman says if you're going to spend money on a fitness band or wristwatch,
you can expect to spend more or less the same on a sports-specific sensor.
With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:37. Scientists are working on technology that could really save our landfills in the future and also be tasty at it. It is a new technology that would be like an edible food wrapper. Here's the science release.
At the grocery store, most foods come wrapped in plastic packaging. Not only does this create a lot of waste, but thin plastic films are not great at preventing spoilage. To address these issues, scientists are now developing a biodegradable film made of milk proteins. And you can eat it to boot. Led by Peggy Tomasula, the team at the U.S.
It is a big breakthrough, and we're happy to have one of the scientists from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Research Lab on with us this morning, who helped develop this, one of the lead scientists, Leticia Bonet, who is with us. Good morning, Ms. Bonet. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hi, good morning. I am happy to be here.
We're very happy to have you. This is very exciting because, and I saw a gentleman on the video that has been released eating one of these wrappers. This could be a big development. Tell us exactly what it is that this is and why it's so important.
Hi. So this is instead of being a plastic made from polymers, this is a plastic made from protein. So what we do is we mix casein, the main protein of milk, with water and some other ingredients, which are all edible. And then when we spread it and we dry it, it forms a thin plastic film, a thin plastic sheet. So with this plastic sheet, we can wrap some food. And because it's made entirely of protein and other edible ingredients, and you can just eat it with the food. You don't have to peel it off.
This is obviously a big deal for a couple of reasons. First is obviously landfills are full of plastic. Give us a sense of how quickly this might biodegrade if we were not to eat it.
Well, this is actually soluble in water, so it biodegrades pretty much instantly.
So that's a huge deal. Why hasn't this been able to be perfected before?
Well, there has been several attempts, and there are issues with it, so you have to work around those in order to be able to implement it. But one thing is, it cannot be the only packaging. Because it is edible, it will get dirty, and so it has to have an outer packaging. So what we are thinking this would be good is for all those single-serve foods, which are so popular. And in one big carton of food, you have about 30 different little packages, and each little package has its own wrapping. So that's a lot of plastic there.
And one of the videos that I saw was, for instance, if you buy those cheese sticks, if you're like me and you buy cheese sticks, they come in the big package, but they're all individually wrapped, and they're each in their own plastic wrap. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's exactly what we're thinking of. And also a single serve pouches of drinks, soups, chocolate, anything else you can think of that. So preferably things that contain dairy, because this being a dairy product, there could be allergy potential for some people. So we have to keep it with dairy foods or foods that already contain a little bit of milk.
Here's the million-dollar question, because I saw the I call him a guinea pig because he kind of looked like a guinea pig in the video, who is eating this plastic.
It was funny.
What does it taste like?
Well, casein is pretty much tasteless. So that is good because it's a good template for adding anything you would like to it. So you can add mix any flavors in the formulation, and that will flavor it, and the casein will not interfere.
One of the things I immediately thought of when I saw this was when I was a kid, we used to have these things called fruit roll-ups, and they were sort of, they almost looked like plastic sheets, but they were made out of some sort of fruit gelatin or something, and that's immediately what I thought of. Is it sort of similar? Is it similar in that texture?
It's not rubbery and stretchy, but it is also made from a protein, so the gelatin is a protein. But casein is a very strong protein that doesn't stretch. It's more spherical shape, and it's very charged electrostatically, so it forms a strong network, but that doesn't stretch. So the difference between this and plastic wrap is it has approximately the same strength, but it's not really stretchy.
There are also some applications for this that go beyond packaging. One of them involves maybe using this as a spray for cereal.
Yes, that's another great potential application that we have for it. It can be sprayed on anything you would like, and then it will dry and form a nice hard shell around it.
And so why would we need something like that?
Well, this is good because it can... For some packaging, it's much easier to dip the food in it than to just make a sheet first and store the sheets and then apply the sheets later. So it can be much more cost-effective for some companies. And what we are thinking is this can be applied after the cooking process from the food, for example, for cereal bars. If you wrap them, if you coat them with this after it has been baked, you can add to the coating itself, you can add the vitamins, you can add some probiotics, you can add some extra flavors, and they will not cook. Therefore, they will not be destroyed by the heat. So anything you want to preserve from the heat, you could add afterwards using this coating. And the coating will also protect the bar at the same time.
And there's another benefit possibly from this as well. We saw this week some of the health organizations release new data about the amount of sugar that our kids are eating. This could also replace the sugar that's on cereal, because don't cereal makers put sugar on cereal to keep it from, you know, becoming soggy, and they keep it crunchy?
Yes, I think the job of the sugar is not only taste. It's also to protect the cereal in the box so it doesn't arrive as crumbs to you, and then to keep it crunchy longer in the milk. So we tried putting cereals with sugar and with different of our formulations, and those performed about twice as well as the sugar to keep the cereal crunchy longer.
And one of my favorite...
It had a much stronger crunch, too.
So it did have a much stronger crunch to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of this, too, because I'm a big pizza fan, is this could the other application is you could use this to spray greasy boxes or boxes that carry greasy foods to keep them from getting your counter or clothing greasy.
Yes, as a spray. So you can spray directly on the food, or you can spray it as a liner of existing packaging. One, to protect the food from the packaging, because we know some plastic leach. And two, to protect the packaging from the food, because this is a good barrier to grease. And we tried it on brown paper, for example. And without paper, the grease goes right through without our coating. And when you apply your coating to the craft paper, it becomes greaseproof. So this would be indeed good for pizza, etc. Any food that already contains cheese and dairy, and it comes in a cardboard box or a bag, this could be a very good application for.
Your research on this, you said earlier in our interview, too, that this it's not, you know, you have to put it in something else because it does get dirty, and it's but that doesn't necessarily take away from its strength. How does it compare to plastic?
Well, one of its main advantage is that it's oxygen blockage. The regular plastic we use every day to wrap food, such as sandwich bags, freezer bags, their oxygen blockage is very low. So eventually the food gets stale and pretty quickly too, particularly if it's high-fat food. So this film, what it does best is to block the oxygen pretty well. So that would preserve this high-fat sensitive food a lot longer, I think. And another thing it does is it is soluble. So for all the foods that are added to water, you wouldn't have to unwrap it. You can just dump it straight in the hot water, and then you get extra protein in your meal.
When people talk about research and, you know, we can send a man on to the moon, but we can't do this, I really put this in that category of, wow, it is about time. And so I guess the next question is, how quickly can something like this be on the market, and how quickly can we stop putting plastic in our landfills?
Well, we just began the application stage. So we have now some formulations that we like, and we need to really put them to the test to see if they can perform all the jobs we think they can do. And so that takes a little while. And also we need to calculate the cost. For example, is this going to be cost competitive enough? And some other parameters. We have to do some taste testing, for example, because it could be cost effective. It could perform well, but then will the consumer actually accept it?
So
there are all these different phases we still have to do.
Sure. And then you bring up a really good point, and that is the cost of this. Is there any indication, without having done that full research yet, about how cost effective this might be?
Well, this is definitely more expensive than plastic currently. Plastic is still the cheapest material for packaging out there. No, I don't know if it's cheaper than paper, but protein does cost a lot more than plastic. But because protein is a food, and if we apply it to food, then it remains a food and it won't be wasted, so it might be worth the extra few cents that it will bring, because you're also getting more nutrition and all the different advantages that you can get from it, with all the nutraceuticals and probiotics and vitamins that you can add that plastic cannot do. So that might be worth the difference.
Well, and then there's also, too, the cost of plastic in landfills. You know, you have to sort of put all of those together, right?
Mm-hmm. We have to invest in our future.
All right. This is very exciting. We appreciate you being with us today. Good luck with your continuing research. With us this morning, Leticia Bonet, who is a research chemical engineer with the United States Department of Agriculture Research Service. Good of you to be with us this morning. Good luck with your research.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:52. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Market Desk this morning. Dow futures have turned negative now. The Dow futures off 7, S&P futures, NASDAQ futures lower as well. The NASDAQ futures off 11. Crude oil's trading up just a few pennies now at $47 a barrel. We want to remind you, too, that today at 6 p.m. at Chase Auditorium, Wearable Work Startup Showcase is the feature at Technori, CEO Terry Howerton. Companies like Rhythmic and Embodied Labs will be there. Technori, promo code WGN, save 20% on your tickets. Scott Catoon and all the folks at Technori would love to see you at Technori on Twitter. That's, again, tonight at the Chase Auditorium, the latest Technori. Orion Samuelson is standing by, the second of our duo this morning on this morning, Farm Progress Show. Orion, we had Max on just a little bit ago. This is a big day.
Indeed, it is a big day, and I heard Max's report, but I didn't hear him talk about weather. And right now, I'm in Huntley, about to leave for the airport at Aurora, board Air Orion, and fly out to the Farm Progress Show, but it looks like it could be a thunderstormy kind of a morning. Yesterday in Huntley, in about 45 minutes, 1.54 inches in my rain gauge, and another fifth of an inch since midnight, so it may be a wet opening. But of course, in Boone, Iowa, at the permanent site, at least in the exhibit area, the streets are paved, but it could put a damper on some of the field activity, and particularly the harvesting that would get underway at 11 o'clock this morning. Max and I will be at the ADM tent every day, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. with our band and a lot of interesting guests. We hope people will come out and say hello, and we look forward to seeing them. In the overnight grain trade, corn lower, soybeans lower, wheat a little bit higher as we continue to look at bumper crops and lower prices. Hope you have a good day, Steve.
You too, Orion. Listen, is there a severe weather plan that people should be aware of at the Farm Progress Show?
No, not really. And the forecast indicates that once today gets done, that we will have pretty good weather tomorrow and Thursday. 2 years ago, the first show ever that I have missed because we couldn't fly. It was rainy every day, and so I never made it. So I hope it's not a repeat of 2 years ago when we were last at Boone, Iowa.
Well, I'm looking at WGN Chicago Weather Center radar right now. It looks like once this line of storms moves through in the next half hour or so, things will be pretty good for a flight up to Air Orion by you guys over to Iowa. So,
well, we're looking forward to being there.
All right. Look forward to hearing from you. It's, again, the Farm Progress Show. You can find more farmprogressshow.com. Lots of links there as well. Again, the radar shows that this line of thunderstorms we've been monitoring, moving really to the south now of the metropolitan area. It's been pushing through the western suburbs. It's going to be affecting places like Morris and Kankakee and Joliet soon. It is weakening as it moves east, southeast across Chicagoland. We'll check in with Tim McGill coming up at the top of the hour as we continue our broadcast today.